This episode of the Disney Nerds Podcast is brought to you by TouringPlans.com. Spend less time in line and more time riding your favorite attractions. Visit TouringPlans.com and be sure to use discount code 17NERDSDIS. That's 17NERDSDIS to save 10%. TouringPlans.com.
Welcome to the splendor, the spectacle, the sparkling sensation, where the romance, the comedy, and the thrill of Disney fantasies come to electric life.
And as our friend Jiminy said, welcome. Welcome to the Disney Nerds Podcast, a place each week where like-minded people get together to discuss all things Disney. We'll help you get your Disney fix on. Here we go.
A Magic Kingdom proudly presents, in a million points of musical light, the magical worlds of Disney.
Hello and welcome to show number 183 of the Disney Nerds Podcast. Hey guys, how's it going? And welcome back to the show. On this week's show, we've got a special surprise for you. We're going to be doing the Wheel of Attractions. But before we do that, let's introduce who we have on the show tonight. First off, we have Jennifer. Hey Jen, how's it going?
Good. I'm glad you guys remember me.
It's been a little while, but
it has. I'm very glad to be back.
Excellent. Along with Jennifer, we have Charlotte. Charlotte, welcome back to the show. How's it going?
It's going great, Ed. So glad to be on here tonight when Jennifer's on here. So it's been a long time since we've been together.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And along with us, we have Jimmy. Hey, Jimmy, how's it going?
Jennifer, so good to talk to you. I'm looking forward to seeing you and Kyle in late October, early November.
Yes. Yes, I'm excited. I'm excited it worked out.
Okay, so before we get to the Wheel of Attractions, we want to talk about one other thing real quick. We kind of have a little bit of an update. We've been trying to branch out as far as the Disney Nerds Podcast goes and trying to reach our listeners in kind of different ways. One of the new ways is we're using our Facebook page and we're going live each week. We've done it the last 3 weeks, and I think we've gotten most of the bugs out of the system. So what we're going to do is every Tuesday night at 9 o'clock, we're going to be going live on the Disney Nerds Podcast Facebook page. What's really cool about this is it's a chance for you guys to join us and talk to us, ask questions, comment on what we're talking about, give some insight. If you've been to the park recently, we'd love to hear about it. So far, we've had Jimmy, Lisa. They've been doing really good jobs on the show, trying to bring some information to everybody and working out the kinks of the technology. So now we're getting ready to try three at a time, and I'm looking forward to it. So, Jimmy, where'd you come up with the idea? I mean, this is really great.
So the live show is something I've seen other podcasters. Lou does his every Wednesday night, and then I also have some friends over at the Behind the Ears podcast who helped me out quite a bit with just the technology curve, because there's a couple different ways to do it. And the first way I tried was very, very complicated. And then I saw the guys over at Behind the Ears doing it, and I messaged Danny, and he gave me a lot of good information. So we decided to test it, and it's been a lot of fun. It's a great way. It's been a great way to interact with a lot of our friends, a lot of other Disney nerds. Don't get me wrong. I love doing the podcast, but it's so different because we're all together here, just us recording this, and then people kind of passively listen as opposed to the live stream where they can really get involved and be part of the show.
Oh, no doubt. Now, each week we're going to start out with a theme, but that's not going to hold us down. If you want to ask a question or kind of steer us in a different direction, be our guest. What's the best way to find the show on Tuesday night?
I would say the best way to do it is just follow the Disney Nerds Podcast Facebook page and go to one of our videos. And if you watch the video, I believe there's a button you can click on the video that will open notifications. So anytime we go live, it'll give you a notification. But we'll also be sure to, when we go live, we'll have somebody sharing that in the Disney Nerds group as well, just to make sure if you missed it on the page, it'll be in the group too.
Excellent. Excellent. So we're totally looking forward to it. I can't wait till this Tuesday coming up. So without further ado, let's go into the Wheel of Attraction. Now, for our newer listeners, you might be saying, what is the Wheel of Attractions? Well, the Wheel of Attractions is based on a carnival wheel that I have mounted in the office of my house. Right behind me, I have a wheel that has every ride and attraction in Walt Disney World. Each of us is going to take a turn and spin that wheel. Wherever it lands, we're going to talk about that attraction or ride. It's totally random. We haven't thought about this beforehand. We have done no research. Basically, what we're looking for is a spur of the moment, kind of a shock, brain dump. Anything we can come up with based on that attraction that we've experienced in the past, maybe a tip or a clue or maybe even a warning. So you might be asking yourself at this point, a carnival wheel in the office? How can everybody have that? I agree. I only have the carnival wheel in my office. So what I've done is designed an app to give to my co-hosts, and what they're going to do when it's their turn, they'll push the button on their app. It causes the wheel to spin, and there we go. Okay, guys, so what do you think?
Let's do it.
Yeah, I'm excited.
Let's get the show rolling.
Nice. Nicely done.
Jen, since you haven't been here in a little while, let's let you go ahead and hit the button on the app first.
This may be a first for Wheel of Attraction show that Ed lets somebody else go first.
Wow, I feel honored.
True.
And I have to say I'm thrilled that you have an app. I always got nervous if I was ever on The Price is Right, whether I could reach the top of the wheel and whether I was strong enough to spin it. So the app button, I can handle. So here we go.
All in the knees, Jen.
This is in the thinker.
Okay, and there goes the wheel. Okay, that's pretty, spinning pretty fast.
Wow, look at her go.
I wonder where it's going to stop. Looks like it's slowing down.
Space Mountain.
And it's Tree of Life.
Oh, yay. So fitting.
That's actually a really good one.
Yeah.
That is a perfect one.
Probably doesn't get enough attention.
Can I go first?
Sure, go ahead. Definitely.
That's like the most fitting thing ever because, you know, if you've listened, that I love Animal Kingdom and love the Tree of Life. I have tons of things to say about it, but I'll leave some of that for you guys. But I will say that I went to a DVC nighttime event in September, and the whole event was kind of chaotic, and it didn't really go very well, and I flew down just for that, and it was really frustrating. But I will kid you not, I stood in front of the Tree of Life, and it was the first time I had seen the new Tree of Life Awakens show with the projections and the lights and the whatever they call the vignette video things. And I stood there for over an hour, and it was like I literally flew down and thought this was the biggest waste of time, and I stood in front of that tree for an hour, and all was right with the world again. So it was like a drug for me. It's so beautiful. So I mean, I don't know. I love Animal Kingdom anyway, but especially with the nighttime changes to the Tree of Life, I just think, I don't know, it's a game changer. It's wonderful. It's beautiful.
Oh, no doubt. No doubt. Now, before we go any further, real quick, Animal Kingdom, the weenie of the park is the Tree of Life. You walk into the park, up over the hill to the bridge, and there it is, spread out. And up until about maybe 2 years ago, the Tree of Life has been this awesome creation, which is basically covered with all carved animals from around the world. It was one of the best revelations as you got closer to it, for me at least the first time, when you started to recognize how many different animals are actually in there. And and it's almost endless. I did spend some time one time on a solo trip down there, literally taking pictures of every animal through a slideshow together, just because it was really that good. And I guarantee I only got probably 3/4, if that.
I was going to say every animal. Are you sure?
I know. I think there are, over 300. I don't remember the exact number,
ridiculous.
It's a lot.
Oh, yeah. No. I
crazy.
Came pretty close.
That's awesome.
I'll throw Sam that link. So we'll put that in these show notes.
What is amazing to me about the Tree of Life is that every single time I look at it, I find an animal that I did not see before. During my February trip with my girlfriends, we ended up grabbing a drink and getting a seat over by the water, just right across from where the Tree of Life was. Very nice, calm moment. And I sat there and looked at the tree and probably saw 15 animals that I had never seen before. And I have looked at that tree so many times. And it just, once you see one new one, you see another new one, and you're like, was that always there?
It'd be a great area for some binoculars.
Yeah.
You could definitely really zoom into it. One of the things I think is interesting is, even if you're not a fan of the theater show It's a Bug's Life, it's probably still not a bad idea just to walk through the queue, because I think that's probably the best view of the all the different animals on the tree because you get so close to the tree.
Mm-hmm. I don't know that you can
get any closer, huh?
Yeah, I was going to say that plus the Discovery Island trails that go up above, like right next to it, because you definitely can see most of the tree from the main thoroughfares. But, yeah, you can go in that queue or some of the trails that go right up next to it, and you see, I mean, especially some of the ones where, like, the roots come out and it's more, like, level right. with the ground. There are just some incredible things there.
Right.
Right. Right. And it seems like they're not out of the – I mean, they're out of the normal eyesight. You have to go on those trails to see some of that stuff.
Yeah.
And I was really amazed when I went around looking at those things, how low they were into the root areas and stuff like that. And now moving on to what it's like today with the nighttime animations, it is just an extraordinary addition.
Yeah.
And it was just not waiting around. It was really full entertainment. The news I just heard last week, they're going to be animating the backside of the tree.
Oh, yay.
Too.
That's awesome. Well, I was going to say, it's not even just – so they have these little, like, vignette, these little, like, mini, what, 1-2-minute videos. There's 4 or 5 of them, and they happen randomly, which is really interesting because everything else is so, you know, wishes is at 9 or at 10 tonight, and the 3 o'clock parade is at 3 o'clock. But the Tree of Life shows, you might catch – 2 of them in 10 minutes, and then you might not see it again for 30, but they have those little videos, and that's not even, I think that's the focus, but that's not even the best part. I think all the in-between stuff, when leaves start falling down and fireflies fill the branches and the wooden animals move, and I'm like, wait a minute, what just, and it looks, right. It doesn't look like a projection, it looks like the wood moved, and it's so bizarre, and I think the interstitial stuff is like so, the stuff that's it's just really, really amazing. So I just had to keep watching. It's like a slot machine, I think. Like, you just have to keep doing it because you never know what's going to happen.
Sure, exactly how it is. Now, they use that animation from the castle where they originally had that. So it's that contoured animation on the castle. You saw the bricks. Same with the tree, which makes it extraordinary. What's really cool this week, we saw that whole Pandora show of the little previews and stuff like that. Inside that Navi ride, they had the animation in there for those dog-type animals. Same type of animation, very rustic, very against some contour that made it look very realistic. So they just keep pushing this animation. It's awesome.
Incredible. Incredible.
Even at the beginning of the night, you don't see when it starts getting dark. If you don't pay attention closely, you see that moment where the animation actually comes on. And the tree is basically animated. And you're right. You don't realize it until that first animal moves. They do the same thing over at the Hollywood Studios for the Star Wars show. They light up the Chinese theater with that animation that basically mimics the Chinese theater until the show starts and the whole thing just falls down. And you're like, wow.
Well, and you go from that, like, high-tech, really incredible, like, art stuff that they're doing. And then I know that a lot of Disney nerds have probably heard this story, but you go back to, like, the most basic engineering where they take, what, an oil rig and cover it up because they needed something that would withstand it. So it's like this, you know, really tough piece of machinery, basically. And then they turn it into this piece of art. So you go from, like, one extreme to the other, and I think that's really cool.
That's what Disney's about. Or that's what artists, that's what true artists are all about, definitely.
Over the top, how do we make it where it can withstand hurricane force winds, but then from there, detail it to a point where it's completely, you know, magical.
Yeah.
Sure, and think about, along with the hurricane winds, think about just being in the sun.
Yeah.
300, you know, how many days a year.
Yeah.
And still being so beautiful. And so the Tree of Life is just an incredible part of that park.
Well, and I think as you were talking about how you were you know, saying that it's such a cool thing to look at, it is, I mean, it's spectacular, but it's also so different than, you know, a giant Sorcerer Mickey hat in the middle of a park, or even Cinderella Castle, which I wouldn't change at all, but it is so, Cinderella Castle is so, noticeable. It's very like, it's like, look at me now. But the Tree of Life, I mean, I think just perfect Animal Kingdom. Yeah, it does. It just sort of like, it is this incredible thing. It's very majestic. It's amazing. And yet, you know, you have to like really look at it to see like, oh, there's a tree there. But, you know, it's just so much more than that. But it's sort of subtle.
It adds harmony to the entire park. It is. From every land in Animal Kingdom, you can see the tree, and it's always perfect. I mean, it blends to every section of Animal Kingdom perfectly. Now, if you are standing in
Frontierland or Adventureland and you happen to see the castle, yes, we love the castle, but it doesn't blend as well as, say, the tree does. It just, it flows.
Good point.
I think an interesting thing, too, that a lot of, I think a lot of people don't remember is that it has had some issues as well. Do you remember when they had to cover the queue line for stuff to be a bug with netting? Because some of the branches under high winds or some of the smaller branches were falling off the tree.
I vaguely remember that, yeah.
Yeah, so they had to cover, so they had to cover the queue line where you're kind of going under the tree and going into the base of the tree with like this netting. So if a small branch did break off, that it wouldn't land on a guest.
Maybe about 4 years ago?
Yeah, probably so, yeah.
Yeah.
And now, I tell you what, you keep mentioning that whole way, it's tough to be a bug. I really recommend getting down there.
They have a
tribute to Jane Goodall down there, and then a chimpanzee carved into one of the roots and a plaque, which is kind of cool to see, take a picture of.
If you're doing the Wilderness Explorer program with your kids, there's also a lot of different things down there in the trails, and so that is just such a wonderful way to kind of get lost and explore the Tree of Life area and the trails and get some of your Wilderness Explorer book done.
Yes, we love that. But also down there, it's like a just out of sight, you know, and like there's like a little, you go down the queue part, not necessarily the trails, but in the actual queue, you get in this like cave area underneath the Tree of Life, and then it does kind of take a playful turn from this like beautiful majestic tree, and they have those movie posters that are all like pun filled related to bugs, and they have if you have the official Walt Disney World soundtrack CD from like the early 2000s, they have this what is it? It's the Beauty and the Beast song, but it's
Beauty
like
the Beast.
buzzed by bugs, and
yeah.
And it's
Beauty
and that's,
the Beast.
It's obnoxious when it comes out of my car, and the posters are cheesy, but it's just so perfect. It's so funny, and it's tucked away under there, and you'd never see it. And I wouldn't want to see it out anywhere else, but it's perfect there.
Oh, right, oh, right.
Good point.
Yep. Excellent. So that was a good first spin. Good job, Jen.
Thanks. Very nice.
Okay, so let's continue on with the ladies. Charlotte, you're going to go ahead.
All right.
Go ahead, click
right.
Your app.
Here we go.
$1. Big money.
Whoa. Starting to slow down now.
There we go.
Almost there. And it's Kilimanjaro Safari.
Oh, back then.
Oh, very nice.
Jim, how about
so
that?
So we did talk about how would this look random, and here I come on, Animal Kingdom fan, and we're just like hitting all the big animals. It is random.
It's so random.
Not lie about that at all. Totally random. Kilimanjaro Safaris. This is another one that's been really affected in the last couple of years. Go ahead, Jim.
Can I just say something completely off topic?
Sure.
Of course.
Just a minute ago, and I think I've heard this before, but just a minute ago, Charlotte said, "Here we go." And all I could think immediately in my head, is Gohar Magic and Peter Pan on the clock hand, and here we go.
Here we go.
I don't know.
Can we please be in there right now?
I know. So that just immediately popped in my head, and
that's
it
funny.
Made me happy.
Awesome. And as soon as you started saying it, we all knew what you're talking about.
Yeah.
So we're all nerds.
Yeah, absolutely.
No doubt. Okay, so Kilimanjaro Safaris, over at Animal Kingdom, it is either the first or second ride you want to take in the day or you want to set fast passes for. And it's probably one of my favorites at Animal Kingdom because it totally fits the whole motif of the park.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Guys?
Absolutely, and it's different every single time. Yeah. I mean, you are never going to get the same experience twice on Kilimanjaro. I mean, it just depends on how the animals are moving, the heat of the day, the time you're on. I mean, there are so many factors that go into play on how this ride is, and that's what makes it so amazing. I could do it multiple times a day and feel like I've seen something new every single time.
Oh, yeah. So I have to agree with you, Ed, as far as the ride is, of course, where you is at the back of the park in the Africa section, but you are boarding a Jeep and going on a, what, 3-week safari or something that actually gets cut short, unfortunately. But you're going on a safari through the savannas that they've created and through like an African elephant watering hole. And it's just this really amazing, probably the only opportunity, unless you go to Africa, to like feel like you're truly driving in a safari vehicle looking for these big animals. And, you know, to what Ed and Charlotte are saying, like, it is not, you know, I know there's the whole not a zoo thing, but it's, you don't necessarily know what you're going to see, because these animals are allowed to roam pretty freely, and they, we'll get to the whole night safari in a little bit, I'm sure, but they behave differently at night because they're the ones that are hunted are eating. I mean, it's just, they are really in their more natural habitat than you might see somewhere else. And so to that point as well, I definitely agree, Ed, you've got to go there right at the beginning, because the hotter it gets, just like in any zoo or animal habitat, the hotter it gets, the less likely you're going to see them be active because they're hot. So morning for that one, or night, I guess. No.
Right.
Yeah, definitely night.
So I would say, I agree, morning. The only thing I would warn is that if you do the first or second, third one in the morning, there's probably a good chance you won't see the elephants.
Ah.
Because they leave their area, their nighttime area, first thing in the morning, and they don't push them anywhere. They let them mosey themselves over to that watering hole. So if you do the first or second one, a lot of times they haven't made it there yet.
That's a good point. Yeah, because they really do. I mean, they do bring them out from wherever they're staying in various places. So that's a really good point.
And they let them make their way on their time. So
can you imagine the elephant parade just like walking?
Right. So, yeah.
Be so happy.
I can imagine that. we went and did the first one in the morning once, and the driver told us that. Said there's probably the elephants probably won't be here yet. But everything else was pretty active. Now, I haven't had a chance to do the nighttime safari yet, but I mean, out of all the things you see, I think probably the lions are the most, majestic in my opinion. And, I've seen them standing, but you still don't see them very active during the day. And since they're nocturnal, I bet in the evening time, you're much more likely to see them kind of moving around and acting like lions.
I was going to piggyback onto your morning, which I did not know. That's a great tip. So you want to go kind of early in the morning, but not too early. Maybe take your time on the Discovery Island trails and then get back to Africa a little bit later, but still go there early. But at nighttime, so I would have to say this is one of those things where I would give advice maybe somewhat differently to a Disney nerd versus a first-time or second-time guest. If you're going to go once, then I think the nighttime safari is not the best choice, because I've been a couple times, not as many as I have during the day. And I learned some really interesting things about how truly, like, you see these little, you see giraffes on the move, and you see a lot of things because they truly would, some of these smaller animals, not that a giraffe is small, but also some of the smaller, like, prey, the gazelles and little tommies, you see them, like, hiding during the day, and then they would migrate during the night. And so we would see a lot of movement, but it was very, it was very subdued as far as that goes. There wasn't anything. It's hard to see at night, mm-hmm. which makes sense. Mm-hmm. You don't have night vision goggles like they did at Animal Kingdom Lodge at one point. But so it's difficult to see, and they are not doing the same, like, fun behaviors, at least in the experiences I've had. So I think it's really, really cool. If nothing else, for those of us who have ridden it a lot, it's really just surreal to be out there at night. It's just really something neat. But I don't know that the animal viewing for me has been quite as good yet.
I kind of agree with that, although as far as lion viewing goes, 2 out of 3 night safaris have been great. Not all, but a couple of the lions standing up on top of the rocks, vocalizing. You could hear them before you even got there.
That's awesome.
That's awesome.
One of the other really cool features is that sunset.
Yeah.
It really confused me the way they advertised it before I went on the first time. I wasn't expecting what we got. However, what happens is when you enter the savannah for the first time and you pass the Baobab tree, or what's the upside down?
Baobab.
Right. And you come down that hill and you start going to the right around, and you'll eventually get into the flat. to the left is where they have this sunset. And it's basically a lot of orange and yellow lights reflecting off some things. And you know what? I've seen sunsets since that I got to say look a lot like them. Mm-hmm. Through trees and with the reflecting light because it's low to the ground, the mirage effect, stuff like that. So, you know, I give them some credit for that. It does look like it is. However, the rest of the safari is
very dark.
So, so yeah, I thought it was going to be sunset. I did too.
I'm the same way. I'm glad you said that because I remember the first time I got at night, I was like, oh, well, it must be turned off because, you know, I was at this event and I was like, well, they must have the sunset turned off because I was under the impression this perpetual sunset would be that you're driving through the whole safari and the lighting is that of sunset, which, I mean, now that I think about it, would have been really, really a large task. Not that Disney wouldn't be up for it, but that is different than a lighting effect that makes it look like a sunset off on the horizon. It is beautiful, though.
Right. Oh, yeah, no doubt. And they did add some animals for it. The hyenas or the wild dogs or something like that. So basically, they're supposed to be all over the place at night, making a lot of noise and moving around. We actually saw them only during the daytime. So you never know what you're going to get.
So,
right.
Other than that, the safari was basically the same at night as it was in the daytime. You eventually saw some stuff. The light of your safari vehicle gave you some viewing area around it. You know, we saw rhinos, we saw giraffe, which I was surprised to see giraffe at night, to be honest with you. It's worth it either way. I mean, I think you should try to get in the daytime to get the lay of the land, but the nighttime was really cool.
I will say too that pictures for the average theme park goer, like you will not get a single picture on your smartphone. So just realize disappointed as some people can be with photos on the daytime safari without like an actual, I mean, you can get some and they'll tell you, some of your drivers will tell you, put it in this mode or that mode and that works sort of, but some people are disappointed. Like I had a good set of gear and I got nothing, so it is definitely a different challenge at night. So I mean, obviously photographers who are going for that reason are prepared for that, but as the normal like day park goer, just go and ride it and enjoy it and don't even try to look through your camera at anything.
Let me poll you three and how many of you missed the original the whole spiel? And
I do. Me.
I love that
so much.
I could understand it got a little old and tiring.
Sure. So do a lot of things, but.
But from when I was like, when I go there and I'm taking somebody who hasn't been, like one of the kids or my niece or my nephew, and they've never been on it, to that whole little spiel was so fun.
It was good.
I agree.
That's true. And it did teach a story. It taught a lesson.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay. So let's finish up. The safari, let's try to rapid fire animals you've seen in the safari. I'll start with hippo.
Giraffe.
Okay, we're not going to go around. We're just going to spit them out.
Rapid fire.
Crocodile.
Flamingo.
Cheetahs.
Red River hog. Tommy's, yeah. It's like a... Yeah, the zebras are there now. Hippos.
Oh, water God, buffalo. The bull with the bull thing with the big, huge horns that are hollow.
Yeah, what is that one?
The Watusi cow?
Watusi cow.
Yeah.
If you're Samantha cow. No, otherwise, it is called the Ankole cattle, and that is my favorite animal at Animal Kingdom Lodge or on the safari. I love that thing. Did you know its horns are actually an air conditioning unit? Yeah,
they're awesome.
Black rhinos and white rhinos. Which white is not because of the color. It's because they have a wide mouth.
Interesting. Right.
Yeah. Ostrich.
Truthfully, ducks and ibis, but they're just from Florida. But they're always there.
Yeah, true.
We have zebras now.
Yeah, I think, I might have thought that one in there.
What about an okapi?
Yes.
Yes.
The okapi is the thing that looks like a half of a zebra.
Mm-hmm. I love that animal. Yeah, there's cheetahs.
Yeah. Jesus.
Flip.
Elephants. Yeah.
And what's great is they keep adding animals every year. They keep finding ways to bring them to Florida and have them flourish.
A couple of tips that I'd like to tell our nerd listeners, if you're doing the nighttime safari and you really want to see, be the first in to load. If you're sitting in the middle seats, like not on the edges, it's much harder to see at nighttime. And I did go set up with photography gear, and I got nothing. I rode it three times, nighttime safari.
It's like they're running. I know, me too.
I had amazing experiences, the lions. It was very cool to see it at night, but I got nothing when it came to video and photos, nothing. So just go for the ride and enjoy it.
Yeah. Well, on that note, don't sit on the opposite side of me, because I am always, always on the wrong side of everything. So wherever I sit, go on the other side.
Okay.
It's going to be leaning the other way from you now. Now, I tell you what, real quick, one last camera tip I'll throw out there. The last two trips, I've been using my phone, my iPhone 6, inside in the dark areas, and it works so much better than my camera that's supposed to be taking good pictures in the dark. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Pirates. I got some great pictures. Haunted Mansion, I got some great pictures.
Thanks for fireworks,
from
too.
My iPhone.
Yeah.
I don't get that, but I'm going with it.
Yeah,
so, FYI. Okay. So, Jimmy, you are up for your spin. So, go ahead. Click that button on the app.
All right.
Okay, there it goes.
Jeez, Jimmy.
Well, that's tough. I was like, see, you weren't even here. It's not really spinning that fast.
I know. Well, I was telling you when I make the girls look bad.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
That's called chivalry.
It's almost there. And it's a Pirate's Adventure, Treasures of the Seven Seas.
Oh, yay. That's a fun one. I like
that's
that.
That's fantastic. Especially if Johnny Depp shows up doing it.
Oh, my gosh, right?
Please.
Hang on a second, guys. Is that what this is? A Pirate's Adventure?
No, it's not. It's absolutely not. It's the, like, mini sorcerer's thing, but... What's the
deal? Oh, I thought it was. You know what? I'm sorry. I thought it was the little show.
The Caribbean. Oh, yeah, the tutorial.
Right. That's Pirate Tutorial.
Yeah. Did he do that too, or just the ride?
He did the ride in Disneyland, but I have heard that. I thought that he had showed up at the tutorial once too.
Man,
he might have. The guys that do the tutorial are usually pretty good.
They do, and I want to say that he did once. Like pop onto like the float for the Halloween party.
Well, and somebody said they saw
him that.
At the first Halloween party last year in his Mad Hatter getup. I'm like, that's pretty cool too.
The choice we have to spin is a Pirate's Adventure, Treasures of the Seven Seas, which is actually that game they have in Adventureland. And Jen nailed it. It's like the Sorcerers of the Magic Kingdom, where you are playing with the map and you're basically running around Adventureland, putting clues together and solving mysteries.
I just say it's nice that it's, I think it's nice that it's a shorter version. We love Sorcerers, and I know, Jimmy, you're going to say something different, but it is a self-contained, like if you have 20 or 30 minutes, you can just do one or two or five of these things, which is really nice, versus Sorcerers, which you don't actually enjoy until you've done it for like months, right?
I don't really hate Sorcerers. I would tell you that the pirate thing, it, in my opinion, and I didn't play Sorcerers much. I've only kind of tested and kind of gave it a shot, but... I agree. The pirate thing has like five maps. You go in there, scan your magic band, it tells you what map to get. But the pirate thing is much more interactive than.
Yeah.
I mean, there's things that come out the water, and we actually have a YouTube video of me, Ed, and Sam doing this.
Oh, that's fun.
Yeah. Fun. And this was the first time they started using the magic bands other than getting you into the park. You were basically recording on your magic band what maps you've done so far so that they knew what map to give you next and what adventure to start out.
So the other thing I would tell you is I've done it with Sam and Ed, but I'd done it prior to that with Wyatt, and we did it at night, and it was so cool. I mean, they get stuff that comes out of the water. There's a cannon that fires off and hits like a bell across the pathway.
Yeah.
There's all kind of like this cool, like interactive stuff. And I think that if you do, I haven't completed all five maps, but it's my understanding that if you complete all five of the maps, they'll give you like fast passes or something.
I was pretty sure we did, but I don't remember that,
but we'll definitely find out this time coming up.
Maybe nicer cast members do.
Yeah.
You got to find the right people.
But you said the maps. Now, you get to keep the maps.
Yes, that's great. Cool. Yeah.
Doesn't cost anything extra.
No, and another cool part about this was it seemed a little bit more self-contained being just in that part of Adventureland. I don't think we went past Swiss Family Robinson or even as far as the flying – yeah, we went to the flying carpets. But I don't think we went as far as the Swiss Family Robinson house.
That's very true. You know, the source of the Magic Kingdom will have you running. I still think they keep it controlled by land, but I feel like the sorcerer thing has you definitely moving more.
Yeah.
Yes.
And it's funny because even though it's contained in the one land, it didn't seem like I was waiting or we waited for anything. While sorcerers, we stopped doing it because we were always waiting for the next clue to get the guys in front of us.
That is
done.
Yeah.
Yes. So, yes.
I think that's the advantage of the 5 maps. And I don't think just because you have one map, it's going to send you in the same sequence as did the person. Like, if you get the first map and you get it a starting point, when you do that starting point, it may send one person somewhere and another person somewhere else. Because when we did it, Ed, we didn't go to each spot. We didn't go to every spot on the map to complete the map. We only went to, like, 3 and maybe out of the 6.
And by using your magic bands, they could honestly, I mean, this freaks people out, but they could just literally track where everybody is at all times and try and keep the lines low.
Oh, I wish it was that smart. Mm-hmm. I would love to think it was that smart.
I honestly think that just like FastPass, they have that built in. Now, whether or not it works, I think that's a goal of the system.
Well, I mean, maybe they don't know exactly where you are, but maybe there is some type of randomizer that, you know what, when you scan your magic band and you get this map, it's going to send you to in this pattern, and the next person that scans it, it's going to be something completely different for that map. And then there's 5. So if there's 5 maps and 4 different patterns for each map, you could see how that would keep people split up.
Yeah, yeah.
Pretty, nice. Very cool. And we got out of the Animal Kingdom.
I love that area. Oh, I think the other great part about that, and I lost my train of thought, getting too deep, but when we did it, Ed, we went to places and kind of explored some stuff we probably wouldn't have. And I think one of the areas I'm thinking of is in between where you get the map and Pirates, there's that little spot when you're walking back toward the bathrooms where, like, they got all the voodoo stuff going on. Like, we probably would have never just walked up to that and really explored it. Yeah. But because the map took us there, you know, we really looked around.
I've never even played this, and I was by myself for a few hours in Magic Kingdom in February and ended up over there, and I didn't want to look like I was stalking anybody, but I really was paying a lot of attention to the families that were playing because it was showing me things that I had never seen in that area before. It was really neat, and if I had not been alone, I probably would have played, you know, but
you should go to the Disney Nerds Podcast YouTube channel. And we have a video of me, Ed, and Sam doing one of the map. We didn't go the whole thing, but we did one map just to kind of introduce it.
We'll ask Sam to link it to the show notes, too, when he puts the show together.
Absolutely. We'll put it on the Facebook page as well.
Awesome. Okay. I think we have time for one more spin. So I'm not going to use my app because I'm right here with the wheel. I'm going to spin it myself.
Spin it.
And here it goes.
No cheating.
Don't give yourself a blister, big boy.
That's all right. I just wanted to spin a little bit there and make it a really honest spin as it goes around and around. Yep, slowing down. It's almost there. And it is Under the Sea, Journey of the Little Mermaid.
Which?
That's so funny because we had a giant discussion about
the
castle.
We learned on our live, our past live broadcast that is in one of the castles in Magic Kingdom.
Wait, what?
It's under Eric's castle.
Okay.
It's one of the castles. Right. So you have the castle, and you've got the Be Our Guest castle, and you've got Ariel's castle, or Prince Eric's.
Yeah. Very cool.
So it's one of the newer attractions in New Fantasyland. It is behind the Seven Dwarves Mine Train now, which is a shame because it was there before the Seven Dwarves Mine Train. wasn't it one of the first things in New Fantasyland that opened up?
Probably one of the first two things to open.
Yeah.
It was all part of that same construction, but yeah, I think it opened before.
The grotto probably opened first
because it's a meet and greet.
Right. Now, this is something that doesn't happen too often where you have one movie having two attractions in two different parks or attraction in two different parks because you have over in Hollywood Studios, you still have the Little Mermaid over there.
Right.
Which right. And that was the big rumor going around. That was getting pulled out because of Ariel being over at the Magic Kingdom, but that never happened.
So I remember the first time I rode, I actually rode this ride in Disneyland first, and I remember ours was still being built or being open, but it or just had opened, but I hadn't made it there yet, and they were and people there were talking like, oh, yours is so much better. Like, I can't wait to ride yours. I'm so jealous. And that happens, right? We've had this conversation where some mm-hmm. on the West Coast and on the East Coast will be more detailed or they'll have a better story. And all I kept hearing is, you guys are so lucky. Yours is so much better. So I got on ours and I was so excited. Ours meaning Florida, of course, for anyone who doesn't know that we're on the East Coast. But, and I was like, I can't wait to see this because it was so good. It is the exact same ride. Our queue is nicer because theirs is like switchbacks in a white building. But it is it is 100% the exact same ride, I'm pretty sure. And I'm like, oh, well, that's disappointing. And now our queue is beautiful, but I never wait in it because I don't want to.
Oh, you've never been in it? There's also
I've been in it, but I usually go the fast pass way, and you only right. see part of it, and yeah.
Right.
But there's also the cute little scenes with the little crab that runs across uh-huh. and
sure,
that's
but
and one of the what Jimmy's talking about is that Disney's been adding all these different activities to the queues, to the different lines for yeah. the attractions. And the Little Mermaid over in the Magic Kingdom's got this really ingenious, I guess, stop points. Every probably about maybe 10, 15 feet, you have something sitting there. It's either a porthole with a glass, or it's a big jar, or it's a window that's basically filled with water. And as you're looking into it, you see the digital effects going on where you have a little crab moving things out. And you're supposed to play with it in that if it brings out, I think, tableware or something that's supposed to be stacked, you let it stack it. If it brings out something that doesn't belong, you wave your hand and the crab throws it away. And so basically while you're online, you get to do a little fun action.
But I don't think the whole state of California should have told me we had a better ride. I was like, come on. I was all excited. But it is a great ride. It's a great ride either way.
Oh, yeah, no doubt. And it's to me, it was really cool because it was new and it's very colorful. It's very bright. It's very loud. It is a very limited animatronic ride, though.
There's a great Triton. There's great Ursula. There's some hidden figments.
So you're saying the technology level of animatronics.
Oh, compared to
the number, there's a lot of them in there, but they're not advanced.
But there's five of them doing all the spinning together, type of where it's really awesome looking, but it's not really that brand new. It's like, okay,
there's not like any advanced animatronic.
It's not like the
animatronics in Frozen.
And not even that. I'm not even going overboard there. It's just it's cool. A couple times I've been on it, and I'll get on it again. But it does get older faster because of that.
And there are some
not for little kids. Don't get me wrong. The little kids, they'll be going on it every time, multiple times, because it is really fun for them. So
there are some neat little projections and stuff that happen when you first get on it, like above you, isn't there?
And like going on at the very beginning mm-hmm. is kind of cool. Yeah.
Yeah. And then the hidden figments. I mean.
Well, and I think there's like a hidden Nautilus too on the queue.
Yes.
Because
yes,
it was
there is.
The. I saw a picture. I didn't actually see it. I saw it afterwards. But because it's in the space that the 20,000 Leagues attraction occupied previously. And so, yeah, it's like a little homage to that ride as well.
But another thing that mm-hmm. makes that attraction one of the greatest attractions of all time.
Mm-hmm.
It has the coolest hidden Mickey.
Yes, okay, I know where you're going, and it tickled my brain when you were just talking about this a second.
Because it has a hidden Mickey that only shows up one day a year.
Only for a couple hours.
Yeah.
But just for a couple hours, because they get it mapped out where,
cool.
I think it's on Mickey's birthday that the sun comes up and shines through a certain spot and cast a hidden Mickey on the ground.
That's awesome.
Yep.
Which is bananas, but it's awesome.
Well, there's also another hidden Mickey the way the rocks are, and if you stand a certain way, it is Steamboat Willie.
Oh, yes. I have seen that one, yes.
What?
And it is a very, you have to be very strategically placed to see it. It is hard to see, but once you see it all the time.
Sure, yeah.
Once you find it and you see it, you're like, I can't believe I have not seen this before, and you're able to point it out. But it is a giant Steamboat Willie. It is really awesome.
Go over to Steve Barrett's Hidden Mickey website.
I'm not even going to do it. I expect Charlotte to show it to me when they're and
I'll show you in November. We'll do it together. Okay.
I will say that, like, the Under the Sea room, like, the scene where they're singing that you can't, I don't care if you're tired of the ride, like, that just makes you happy. It's like, what, 150, whatever, they're, like, all around you, all, and they are simple audio animatronics, and it's basically the scene from the movie but there's so many Under the Sea creatures to look at while they're singing, so there's so much energy and so much color, and I think it's a lot of fun.
It is
so happy, and yeah. every kid in the cars and in the
clamshells,
yes, and the clamshells are singing along. My daughter, my youngest, she's 17, but the Little Mermaid is her Disney movie.
Yeah, mine too.
We have ridden it so many times, but she still, every single time, she gets little teary-eyed.
I love it.
She loves it so much, and to see her have, you know, she got to ride it right when it first opened, and now she's 17, almost ready to graduate, and she still loves it so much, like a little girl. So I think it will have that classic timelessness.
Yeah. It does feel like that, actually, because of, like Ed said, it's simple, mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. But that's not a bad thing, because it's really just, I don't think it'll ever feel dated.
New age classic.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes.
Well, right. It's a new age classic until it's not a classic, as the wild Toad's Wild Ride. Anything else you want to say that disappeared?
Yeah, but speaking about Peter Pan's Flight,
it's
like
a classic until it's not.
Yeah. It still feels great.
I don't know. I get Mr. Toad's Wild Ride, and I know it's attached to a movie, but it's not attached to The Little Mermaid.
I'm just saying the way the Disney parks work. It's, you know, Stitch was an awesome idea until it's not.
I don't think anybody ever thought.
Well, it works. No, but I think that it's safeguarded by being very simple in the best way. Like, it takes the best things about dark rides, the great lighting and the great music and the, you know, just the little additions of, like, Scuttle in the beginning and end being so very Scuttle and hilarious and ignorant and just Scuttle in the beginning and the end, like, introducing you and saying goodbye. And it's so funny. And all those elements that are just like every great dark ride that has lasted on both coasts for years, decades, it's very similar to those. So I agree. I think it protects itself against poor aging, hopefully.
Mm-hmm. And God, I mean, how hard would it be to, I mean, Mr. Toad's Wild Ride, I mean, it was in a building where they basically knocked the sign down, redid the inside, and, I mean, you would have to tear like the whole castle down and a ship, and I mean, it would be like
it could be Moana's new digs.
Well, that was my first thought too originally, but only the rock work, because other than that, those castles are so very much they're just iconic for the movie. So, yes. Jimmy, you're right; it's stuck. I love that.
Okay, guys. Well, that was a really good session of Wheel of Attractions.
I think tonight's selections were wonderful. We had two from Animal Kingdom, two from Magic Kingdom. I'm really excited because I love Animal Kingdom. Jennifer loves Animal Kingdom. We don't get to come on together very often, so I'm really glad we got a twofer on that.
That's good.
It's not a zoo.
Okay, guys. Well, thanks for listening. This has been show number 183. Let us know what you think about our Wheel of Attractions from tonight. Did you have any special stories from the rides we were on today? Let us know. Send us an email. Stop by our live show every Tuesday night.
So if you want to get in touch with the show, you can email us at thedisneynerds@yahoo.com. Check us out on the Facebook page, The Disney Nerds Podcast, the group Disney Nerds, on Twitter at The Disney Nerds, and Instagram at the Disney Nerds Podcast, and more importantly, come check us out every Tuesday night at 9:00 Eastern, 8 Central, and post your questions there. We'd love to interact and talk with you.
Absolutely.
Okay. For Jennifer, Charlotte, Jimmy, this is Ed. We're the Disney Nerds, and we'll see you next week. Bye-bye.
See ya.
Bon nuit, les gens. Good night, people.
Just keep swimming.
Wow.
There's a simple rule that's compulsory.